Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, Carol was off for a couple of days. Did you have a nice birthday on Friday, first and foremost?
I had a COVID birthday party. I was live on Facebook with about 400 other friends. Drinking. Let me not say it that way.
You were boozing on Facebook?
I was
That's
not
awesome.
Boozing.
Where can I find the video of this?
I was not. I had tea. It was a soda of some kind. Yeah,
such
I
a liar. You just admitted you were boozing, and now you're trying to take
you
it away.
You said, was I boozing?
You are fake news.
I simply said I was drinking. You said I was boozing.
I think you confirmed it.
I did
sure.
say at the end of the video that I there may be some tequila in my future.
Well, I saw something earlier from Kansas. I'm sure we have similar figures here in Missouri. Actually, I know that we do on cigarettes because I know some people in the tobacco industry, and they were telling me about this, that people really stocked up on tobacco because they thought maybe they're going to have trouble getting it. So there were numbers. I tweeted this out earlier from Kansas where the numbers for tobacco were up like 63%.
Wow.
Alcohol was way up too. So the orders are flowing in. Again, I think some of that has settled down now because originally, you know, if you go back 2 weeks, that's when the toilet paper disappeared and the water, and people thought, well, if I can't get my cigarettes, if I'm going to be sucking home, they were sort of stocking up on those things.
Cigarettes and bullets.
When you're going through an upper respiratory pandemic, the best thing to do is probably smoke cigarettes if you think about it.
Well, your nerves, you know, shaky nerves. You got to have a cigarette between those fingers.
Well, that's probably what people were thinking. All right, so we have very few people in the building. You're there, Dave's there, Fred's there, a few other news types. I'm in the, you know, in the High Ridge office. But I got this list from Cheryl Atkinson about the 17 key personality types when it comes to handling the coronavirus. So these are pretty much personality
17?
Types that we all know. There are 17 of them. So you tell me if anyone fits the bill on
okay.
this. Number one, the enforcer. This personality polices everyone else. We got anyone like that? Like somebody says, you touched your face. Why aren't you in home isolation? I've seen a couple of people in stores, like in grocery stores, do things like this because everyone's on edge right now.
We don't have that person. Of the skeleton crew we have, there's no enforcer here.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, but they're out there. They're out there.
They are out
sure.
there. My husband at home. Could be that person, but he may be one of these other 16 personality types. Keep going.
Well, I'm guessing he's not number two, which is drama queen. That's my daughter, by the way. This person creates drama around the simplest events.
How can you call your child a baby a
well,
drama
she's five,
queen?
And she is. I call her DQ. She's had that nickname for years.
Are you not a drama queen?
You know, that's not relevant here, and I need to take the fifth. But what I'm going to tell you is that when she starts in her little, you know, drama queen mode, I say, okay, DQ, and I try to nip it in the bud. And a lot of times it works. But, you know, we're talking about people here. Oh, my God, I went to the store, and they were out of my favorite potato chips and all those things. So these are the people that we're really talking about there.
I was shopping for my parents about 3 weeks ago, and a woman rounded the corner and said, and I have to back from the microphone, and said, oh, my God, they have butter. I'm so glad they have butter. I can't believe it. She was, like, at the top of her lungs.
Right, right.
She was joyful, but it was kind of dramatic.
Number three, the action-oriented organizer. This is the type that's always on the move. I can show you how to make your own hand sanitizer. Number four is the party animal. Anything is an excuse for a party. We've seen that, unfortunately, on display. There was a story over the weekend about somebody in New Jersey that threw a COVID party for like 47 people.
Crazy.
That was
My husband says one of his clients told him that she heard tell, here in the St. Louis area, and I haven't found it yet, of a Corona over 50 party, and the entrance was $5, and it was a house party.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Over 50. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So then there's the selfie. This person is a character in his own movie at all times. And yes, there's plenty of that out there.
They're all over social media.
This is me looking for toilet paper on the empty shelf. But we've all kind of become the selfie people, sadly. You know, that maybe... There are a few things about this where we take a step back and maybe put an emphasis on things that are more important than that.
I can tell you that in shopping for my parents, that I found toilet paper yesterday in Rolla, Missouri. My parents live in the Fort Leonard Wood area. And so, but my thought was, this is not the kind of toilet paper I use. And so that's... But I did buy it. But I was like, oh, my God.
That, you know, you raise a good point because it's very particular. The aforementioned drama queen likes the soft, you know, supply, if you will.
You did that. You guys did that. You bought her. You know, you probably buy her the tissues.
We didn't have, I don't like the two-ply. Two-ply is a little too thick. I go with the single-ply.
I don't like single-ply. You're going to have to use more with single-ply.
To each his own, though, Carol.
There you go.
The visuals here are not very attractive. Number six, the optimist. This is me, of course. The worst is over. We'll come back stronger than ever, right?
That sounds like President Trump. We're going to be, the economy's going to roar.
Well, you know who's really good at this is Kenny Wallace, and he's going to join me at 3:35. He's been all over Twitter trying to, you know, inspire people to be optimistic. The alarmist, the pessimist. Oh, who could this be? They're the most comfortable considering the worst case scenario. That's me. I mean, I'm a fatalist, and number eight is a fatalist. There's no point in even trying. That's probably me.
Oh, you're not there yet.
No,
you
not
are
with
pessimistic,
this.
But you're not fatalistic.
I'm not fatalistic in this sense. I do think there's optimism here. I just think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough for a couple of months. Mm. Number nine, the ideologue. Everything that happens is filtered through a partisan lens. Unfortunately, we're seeing a little of that, but I don't think as much as I thought, which is good.
Yeah, that's very good.
I think people are trying to come together on this. Number 10 is the inquisitor, someone who's always seeking information. That's a lot of us in the news.
That's
business,
a lot of
obviously.
Us, yeah.
The researcher, the analyst, these types gather factual and historic information and apply it to the events at hand. I've been doing that quite a bit just because, you know, you're trying to cull down the information.
And there's 12, so much misinformation out there.
It gets confusing. I mean,
it is
a few
confusing.
Weeks ago, everybody said, no, if you don't have it, well, then don't wear masks. That's not going to help you. And now we're being told, well, maybe it will. So that's confusing. Number 12, the skeptic doesn't accept anything at face value. I have skepticism, healthy skepticism. The realist is number 13, less doomsday than the fatalist. The realist accepts with a matter-of-fact attitude. If this is what I get, we'll all die of something. I guess that's one way to look
at it. Oh, my gosh. I don't even like the way that sounds.
The futurist, this personality sees transformation resulting from chaos. We're going to have a lot of transformation.
That's
a lot of transformation.
I pray for transformation. I hope... And I asked this on Facebook, got very few answers, you know, and it's hard to say now. I asked this about a week and a half ago. How do you think your life will change because of this? And it's hard. It was hard to say at that time. I think it's still hard for some people to say because it's surreal still and it's shocking still. When I heard 30 more days, I have to say my heart dropped. So it's hard to say how things.
Better try 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people were prepared for 30, but now you have to prepare for 60 or beyond. A couple more here. The sociologist looks at how events impact the way we live. The psychologist is the person who psychoanalyzes. The opportunist, the entrepreneur, finds opportunity. And hopefully it's good opportunity and not something where you're taking advantage of people like the guy a couple of weeks ago that, you know, went around and swept up all the masks and were trying to say. I don't know if you saw that story. It was in the New York Times.
I did, yeah.
He apologized and he did give those all away. But there you go. The 17 personality types. I worry about people in general, Carol, from this perspective, because mentally we all have our little quirks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to dark spaces sometimes, and I'm trying to get out of those just by trying to be optimistic, being there for my daughter and my wife and my family, enjoying being outside. But, you know, it's easy to slip into, oh, man, this is just unbearable. Realistically, it's not unbearable.
It's not unbearable, and we have to think about where we've all... Not we, as in I'm a 58-year-old, my lifetime, but where my great-grandparents, what they endured. You know, that's what we have to, in comparison, that's what we have to. I can still go to the grocery store, and people are going to, it's not going to be a lot, but unemployment, we're going to get that, not everybody, the stimulus check. My 20-year-old, by the way, I heard you yesterday, he won't be getting one, and we don't claim him, so we don't get the $500 from him. But we still are on the positive side of things in the world. I saw pictures of South Africa. We are not living like that. So things are better for most of us, but people are still struggling. I'm about to try to get an interview with a woman who created what she calls the Diaper Bank, a nonprofit. You know, there are poor people. Diapers are expensive, as you and I well know.
Oh, yeah.
And there are people out there who have kids under the age of one still wearing diapers and can't afford them. And so this is the time for social services to rise up. And they are.
Share some of that information with me personally. That would be something I would.
You don't
more
need
than
the
happy.
Diaper bank.
No. I'm talking about helping people. I'm talking about. Okay. No, I'm talking. Oh, come on.
That was me being the pessimist right there.
Yeah, no, I mean that.
That was
something. This is one of those things. I guess I didn't even think about that, but that's absolutely a need for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if I can do anything along those, even just personally or get the word out, let me know. That's a great idea.
I will absolutely let you know. That's a great list, by the way.
Yeah, well, it sort of fits this time of year and with a lot of other things, too. Look, we just got to, you know, I think everybody's saying the same things. I'm in the backyard with my neighbors last night. We're all sort of shaking our heads, and we go through the conversation like you and I just did, Carol, with, this is, how are we going to get through this? It's crazy. But we also have to look at it from a, perspective. Like you said, there's not bombs dropping in the backyard. I don't know if you ever saw from last year that movie 1917, which is set during World War One. You want to look at...
Still have to see that.
It's a great movie. It's not necessarily based on a true story, but still. There's a lot of realism there, and you think about what some of the people that we've seen over the course of the years in films that have been based on true stories have endured. Like true, and I had Rocky Sickman on last week, Carol.
I heard that. Yes.
Here's a guy who spent 444 days in a room that is much smaller than the one that I'm in right now, and
right.
He didn't have anyone to talk to.
And not to really minimize, because this is difficult. People with depression, with anxiety. My heart is so with. Women who might be in domestic violence, who are in domestic violence situations, not to minimize what people are going through, but it's better. And as an African-American woman, I always reflect, this is not slavery. I mean, I'm ahead of the game, but not to minimize how difficult this is for a lot of people, but we are still ahead of the game. And there's so many, the CEOs who are foregoing pay to keep their employees paid. I mean, there are really a lot of good stories and goodwill that's being exhibited. So we have to focus on that, and we need more light in the midst of what may feel like a very dark period, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. All right, Carol, I know you have a lot of work to do in the newsroom. We'll talk to you again at 3:30 and then right into Total Information PM. I am told that we have a coronavirus task force set for a briefing set for 4 o'clock. So as we did and we often do, we'll try to bring some of that or most of it to you this afternoon a little bit later.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KM. MOX.
3:23. Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. I am in the High Ridge office this afternoon in the studio out here. Got out to a certain extent in the middle of them and get out with my puppy Duke. I have three dogs and he's the athletic one. So a little pre-show routine, getting out, enjoying the weather. Hopefully we'll have that for a few days. It looks like a pretty good weekend overall. Steve Templeton with an updated forecast in the 4 o'clock hour. We're also expected to have a coronavirus task force briefing coming up at 4, so we'll get to that after Kenny Wallace in the 3:30 segment and an audio cut of the day as well. I'm joined this afternoon with Colin Wellenkamp. He's the executive director of a group called the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. Or, Colin, do you say it's MRCTI? Is it Mercati for short, or do you say it that way?
Hey, Mark. Good afternoon. No, we just say MRCTI or sometimes Mercy if we're feeling lucky.
All right. How are you?
I'm a little exhausted.
Yeah.
Been, a new world for all of us, right? And this has been a heck of a ride for everybody. No exception to the Mississippi River.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Just give us a little bit of an outline of what this group does ordinarily and then how you're helping here with the reaction to the coronavirus.
Sure. We're an association of 95 cities on the Mississippi River in 10 states. So trivia question. First river city on the Mississippi in the north, that's Bemidji, all the way down to the last, that's New Orleans. We're headquartered here in St. Louis. I'm born and raised here, so this is my hometown. And when we're not battling major pandemics, we are working to bring resources and national attention back to America's waterway, pretty much the most important waterway on Earth.
Well, it is, and maybe even more so now. So in reaction to the coronavirus, there are, and are you coordinating some of these things with local governments along the river? Because one of the things that people, and I hate to even bring this up, Colin, but we know it happens, and it's happened for several springs now. It even happened over the winter a few years ago, but we are probably moving into prime time for flooding.
We are. This is the spring flood season. It typically goes from late March into late May or early June, usually. Now, with the added layer of elevated climate risk, we are seeing flood season being more severe every year. Last year was the one that took the cake. Last year was the largest flood in U.S. history by duration and scope. So an area from Pennsylvania to Nebraska, from Red Wing, Minnesota to New Orleans flooded. 19 million people were displaced last year, 270 consecutive days of flooding in 2019, 19 states with a total bill of over $20 billion in losses. So that was an epic proportion. We don't expect an event like that this year. Signs are pointing to this year's will not be at that extreme. However, this year we're still going to have flooding. In fact, we're above flood stage and large parts of the river right now. Some of our cities are experiencing major flooding above major flood stage. So it is not a question of if, but when we will experience broad flooding throughout the river valley going into from mid-April into late May is our prime time.
So then what is the task at hand when it comes to coordinating with these 95 cities and making sure that everyone's safe during flooding? Because now with COVID-19, you have to take even further precautions.
Yeah, that is the name of the game now. So how do we limit contagion and respond to other disasters, not just flooding, but also tornadoes and major storm events? I just had tornadoes last night in Georgia come through. That same storm went through the Mississippi River Valley. It just didn't pick up enough moisture and severity to form tornadoes, but we're certainly obviously not immune to those. So how do we respond to that need while at the same time limiting contagion? And that is where I spend all my days and nights at right now. We are working all day, every day, linking our cities to suppliers for PPE, personal protective equipment, so that they have enough capacity to deal with flooding, that is, equip their first responders, equip their EMS, and also equip Red Cross personnel and volunteers that might need to be called in for flood fighting. Everybody above St. Louis and St. Louis North, a lot of the flood fighting is done by volunteers and volunteer organizations. Well, if you expect them to show up when you're flooding, we're going to have PPE on hand to protect those folks from contagion. And this is especially so for our first responders. First responders go out, they interact with the public, they rescue and recover folks that are in harm's way during a disaster. And then they interact and go in and out of disaster command centers and emergency command centers. We have to make sure that we limit contagion in all those places, all those interactions, and you need equipment to do it. You need lots of masks, Tyvek suits, face shields, goggles, gloves, hoods, and foot coverings. And that's, to date, we've linked over 100,000 units of PPE to our cities. So we're making some ground, but we still got a long way to go to meet the capacity that's needed on the ground.
Well, I mean, I think the best thing that I heard in your whole mantra there is that we have to hope that this is true, that this flooding hopefully is not going to be anywhere near last year, because then you just multiply the challenges 100-fold or even beyond.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't. I can't imagine what that would look like. I can imagine it, but don't want to. I don't think we're going to get to that point with the flooding this year. Like I said, indications are that we will not, but we are going to have flooding and we are going to have major storms. And it's just a question of when, and we need to be prepared. Right now, we're having a hard time keeping up with the contagion rate because most of the PPE we have needs to go to our healthcare workers and our healthcare facilities, obviously, where the sick are. They need it the most, but we need some on hand to respond to other disasters when they come. And that is my job, number one, with MRCTI, is make sure that our mayors are getting opportunities to equip themselves for that added capacity that they're going to need. And you know, we may get contagion under control here in Missouri and Illinois, God willing, hopefully, by the end of this month. Prayerfully, we're able to do that. But the end of this month is not the end of flood season. The end of May, early June is typically where
That's right.
out of flood season. So we're going to have to keep fighting this for a little bit.
Colin, thanks for the update. I appreciate it. Good luck with everything. I know it's a lack of sleep time for a lot of folks like you. Colin Wellenkamp, who directs the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. Very important up and down the river with 95 cities and towns. And if there's anything else we can do, let us know.
There is. Actually, Mark, if folks can go to masks-match.com. Everyone can participate. If you have masks and you want to donate them to where they are needed in our area and our region, go to masksmatch.com. It's a nonprofit website. You can actually sign up to donate masks that you may have to where they are needed most, to our first responders and our healthcare workers. So everybody can actually be part of this need on the ground. Please do that. That would be a big help.
Colin Wellenkamp, thank you very much. Good luck with everything. I have to get to a news break. Then some positivity from my friend, race car driver, St. Louis native, Kenny Wallace, coming up after Carol has all the top stories of the afternoon.
COVID-19. Get the facts from St. Louis's trusted source for news. News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Working on a night move.
Here, a different version of this song because my pal Kenny Wallace, race car driver extraordinaire and one of the most inspiring people that I know. He really is. He's just a good guy. He's a regular person. He's a huge Cardinals fan. We're going to chat with him in a second. But here's his message, one of his many inspirational messages on Twitter.
I'm very angry when I hear people seek out all the negative stuff. What we should be saying is, hey, man, when we get done with this, everything's going to kick ass. When we get done with this, I'm never going to take my freedom for granted again. When we get done with this, I'm going to go, you know, I'm still going to practice, you know, social distancing. When we get done with this, we should be thinking when we get done with this, we're going to be better. You know, listen, my brother Rusty taught me years ago, Herm, we hope for the best, we prepare for the worst, right? I look at this deal like insurance. We all got to have insurance, but we never use the We have insurance in case stuff happens. We don't live every day hoping that we wreck and we get to use our insurance. Everything's going to be fine. Remember this. Everybody's in the same situation right now. Everything is the exact same. All right. I love you. I love you.
And he did do a little singing. Come on, Herm. We got to hear the night move singing. Dave, let's play that here.
Said a funny how the night moves. Ooh, I woke last night to the sound of thunder.
I'm shocked that that wasn't your profession, rock and roll.
Oh, who doesn't like singing, right? I mean, music is what makes everybody feel good, and that's no doubt. You know, I mean, I think that's why there's so many good songs. Well, I grew up as a kid, I just was always looking for the beat. I wanted to dance, and then the older I got, I learned that there were words, you know?
So, yeah, it's like American Bandstand. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it, right?
That's all I was worried about.
That's what Dick Clark told us.
Yeah, the older you get, you learn those words and you listen to them. Then you, oh, there's meaning to this, but yeah.
Well, look, I you know that I love your stuff on social media, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to check in with you again. And, you know, the thing about your feed on Twitter in particular, sometimes you're asking questions, you're getting answers from people. So one of the things I wanted to gauge with you is just your sense of where people are right now. There's a lot of confusion. Some people are nervous and scared and, you know, worried about paying bills. You're trying to, I think, inspire people to say, look, we're going to get through this. But what are you hearing from your, you have what, like 300,000 followers on Twitter?
What I'm hearing right now is it's 100% politics. It is the craziest thing I've ever witnessed. So there is this worry, you know, how are we going to pay our bills? There's anxiety. Today is off the charts. Today is the worst I've seen it because, in a strange way, the president gave the Democrats what they wanted. He painted doom and gloom yesterday. So when you watch any news today, any news, it is doom and gloom. And then the stock market reacts and it's down 1,000. So what I see on social media is it's kind of strange. It's not so much about coronavirus. It's about, you know, narratives. You know, each side, Republicans and Democrats, they're fighting over the next presidency. And it blows my mind. And I am trying to be very neutral. I never cuss anybody. That's the biggest thing I see is people are so upset about, you know, just the whole situation that everybody's calling each other names. And my strategy is to give my opinion, but kill them with kindness. In other words, if you go through my whole, you know, I challenge anybody, go through my whole time feed. I never mean, I never call names. But boy, they will cuss me out. And as soon as they cuss me, I block them. You know, I block them right away. So that's what I see right now. It's still the coronavirus on social media is like a backseat. It's still a race for the White House.
You know what was funny? You said something the other day, and I certainly could relate with it. I think anyone who, and I don't have anywhere near the amount of followers that you do, but anyone who interacts like the way we do with people, you know, someone comes at you, and you said, I can't remember the way you phrased it, but it's happened to me too, where you respond or you want to respond to someone, and they end up having like 7 followers or something like that.
Well, wait, let me be clear about that, okay? I truly mean this. I truly do love everybody. My mother would say, Judy, which she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina right now, she goes, I don't like it when you tell people you love them. I go, Mom, I do love them. So let me be clear about the number of followers. And I didn't really mean that people don't have followers. Here's what happens 99% of the time. Somebody comes at me hard, and they cuss me, all right? And so I'll think about responding to them. So what I do is I go look at, you know, their page, and they'll have 2 or 6 followers, and it's a brand new page. What I realize is these are, you know, they are disturbers, and what they do is they disturb so much, they get blocked by so many people that they'll go start a new page. And so that's what I mean by that. I don't mean that if you don't have followers, you're nobody. What I mean is that these people are constantly being blocked, so they get their feelings hurt, so they start a new page, and they come at you again, and I can tell which ones they are.
Yeah, well, and I get that completely. It's just, you know, I don't know. You like social media. I like social media. There's a lot of things I don't like about it, and with all the politics back and forth, the blame game that continues to get played, people are saying they expect, and I don't give Trump, you know this, Kenny, I don't give Trump a pass on everything, but they act like he was the only one at the end of February, beginning of March, that didn't think this thing was going to be a big deal. There were a lot of people, including even in February, Anthony Fauci and some people from the World Health Organization, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, which has become ground zero for all this in this country, was encouraging people at the beginning of March to go out to restaurants and don't stay home. So there's a lot of blame to go around. Everybody, as the president said, should be on the same team right now working to fix this.
So I don't got a speech, but I know exactly what I want to say right now. And that is this. China started this. They started a lot of viruses. Okay, they have. Now, that we know is a fact, okay? So when people try to place blame on anybody, it is utter ridiculous. And I tell everybody all the time, when Obama was president, I support the president. I supported Obama. If Hillary Clinton would have been the president, I would have supported her. And that just aggravates the hell out of people. They want me to choose the side. And I'm like, look, I am a Republican. And the reason I'm a Republican is because I do business. And, you know, that's a whole other subject. But here's what I had to say about the coronavirus. Now, the reason I told everybody I support all presidents is because I don't want anybody to think I'm on Campbell X promoting, you know, I'm a Republican. Everybody is way wrong, and they're thinking about the narrative way wrong. They say the United States should have shut down the borders quicker. That is just a narrative. That is so wrong, it's ridiculous. And here's why. If that is the case, why is Italy and Spain, why is everybody dying at a massive rate? What did they do wrong?
That's exactly right. Look, that's why I said everybody. You look at everybody didn't learn the lessons from Italy. We saw this building. We didn't think that Italy could be Germany or Spain or the U.S., and it has. So we're learning a lot of lessons here. I even heard, and I will tell you this candidly, because at the beginning of all this, I was checking in with people who I knew that were doctors, and there were some doctors that thought that it was all overblown. So this was a feeling that was pretty common. Now, were there some outliers out there saying, look, we got to take this seriously? Absolutely. Kenny, I got to let you go because we're running late on time. I got some business to get to, but I do love the positivity, and I want you, you probably heard us promoting, we're doing a home opener pregame show tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour. I need you to take the pictures that you would ordinarily take with all your Cardinals gear and then tag us in that with my home opener. Will you do that for me?
You got it. I'm excited. All right, man. Hey, that's PMA, positive mental attitude.
PMA. We'll go out with Kenny's song. We're back with more here on the Voice of St. Louis in a moment.
Night moves, ooh. I woke last night to the sound of thunder.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I think Larry David is always one of my favorite people. The 10th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm just ended. It was brilliant. Of course, he is the co-creator with Jerry Seinfeld of Seinfeld. And he's kind of a snarky, crabby guy, which is why I love him. He had a great message for those of you who are thinking about going out during the coronavirus crisis.
Hello, I'm Larry David. Obviously, somebody put me up to this because it's generally not the kind of thing I do. But I basically want to address the idiots out there. And you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright, but here it is. Go home, watch TV. That's my advice to you. You know, if you've seen my show, nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and you know, don't see anyone. Except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency, let the plumber in and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it. Okay.
Good advice from Larry David. Yes, if there's a plumbing emergency, I would maybe have a plumber tend to that. I think season 11 has been greenlit by HBO. And if you haven't seen season 10, watch it. I'm ready to watch it again. By the way, I'm starting Tiger King tonight. I'll report back on that tomorrow. Total Information PM coming up next.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.